March 22nd, 2014, Scott Morris and his wife, Erica, were not at their home in Darrington. They were on the road in Snohomish. That's when they heard about the massive landslide that hit Oso, a little town on State Route 530, about 15 miles west of their Darrington home.
We got a call or a text from our sister-in-law saying, you know, where are you? And then she said, there's been a slide, and a friend of ours was rumored on Facebook to have been killed. And, you know, my wife started freaking out, and I tried to calm her down. It's just Facebook. But it turned out to be true. And, of course, we had no idea how big the slide was. Nobody did. We had to go the long way back. We had to go up to Mount Vernon and Rockport and back. And, of course, we got a bunch of groceries, not knowing what the scene was going to be. And by the time we got home, it was probably 9:30 that night. But on the way home, we gassed up in Mount Vernon, and a friend of mine just happened to be gassing up there at the same time. He lives in Darrington, and he's a logger, and he had been up to the top of the slide and showed me a picture on his phone. He said, you have no idea, and he showed me the picture. And that was my first understanding of, oh, this is big. And that was our first inclination of, you know, that our world had changed.
Scott Morris is a former reporter with the Everett Herald and president of the Darrington Historical Society. Well, he doesn't want his neighbors to forget how the landslide changed them, so he's working with grad students from the University of Washington collecting stories, tweets, 911 calls, and other materials from Darrington residents at the time of the landslide. He told Jeannie Yandel the idea came from a friend in another small Washington town that faced a devastating flood.
Friend of ours from the Index Historical Society. Index is a small town, of course, up Highway 2. He said to us, probably within the first couple weeks, he said, you know, you should probably start thinking about collecting things now, you know, keeping an eye toward future generations, because he wished he had done that with a flood they had in the early 80s. But he said, you know, it wasn't until years later he realized, wow, you know, we may have, it would be nice to have thought ahead at the time, but you're so busy surviving a disaster like this that you often don't think. So that got me to thinking, but how to do something like this was considerably more ambitious, and we're still trying to figure it out, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there could be so many potential things and stories to collect. I mean, where did you start?
Early on, you know, you kind of think collect everything and anything, right? And then you start getting into it and you realize you really need to put some sideboards on the project. And I also realized early on, look, we're amateurs. And Colleen Brazil works for Snow Isle Libraries. And she said, you know, you should maybe consider UW's, you know, University of Washington's information school, because they have master's students who have to do a capstone project, which is often a community-oriented project instead of a thesis. They do community projects, and this would be a real perfect thing for that. And these are people who are trained in, you know, developing archives, and they're going through the training that we don't have. So I thought it was a great idea, and we ran with it.
And I want to be clear, you're not collecting stories from everyone who was affected by this landslide. You're specifically looking at stories, history from Darrington. Why is it so important to you to focus on that, on Darrington? Aside from the fact that, as you said, you need to put some sideboards on this, why do you want to focus on Darrington?
I remember a good friend of ours that we know lives down in Snohomish County, you know, down on the I-5 corridor, and maybe 2-3 weeks after the slide, and it was pretty clear that the rest of the world had moved on, and we were still coming to terms. It was totally taken over our lives in ways that I don't think people can understand. I think for us, future generations, for our community, people who end up in Darrington or grow up in Darrington who didn't go through the slide, I think it's important for those of us who did to be able to pass that experience on. And so that's sort of the guiding principle of what we're doing. Let's try to help people understand what it was like from this side of the slide.
Well, as you said, you live in Darrington, but you also worked as a reporter for the Herald. Did having experience as a reporter help as you were trying to figure out how to preserve that history of your town?
Yes. Yes.
Huh.
It was interesting being, and even right now, being on the other end of the interview, and probably a healthy thing for me. And I think I was able to help folks in town. There was a real visceral reaction to, I think in particular, television reporters, cameras in people's faces as you're trying to go to the grocery store. I mean, we had 9 satellite trucks in the IJ parking lot for a week, and then they were all gone. A lot for people to get used to, and there's 43 people who died, people very well-known in the community. People are trying to grieve, and as reporters, you deal with this a lot. You try not to intrude on people's grief, yet you want to make sure their story is, that the lives of their loved ones are validated. And I tried to tell people, this is painful for you to go through with media in your face, but there's one worse thing, if they don't show up, because that means nobody cares.
Well, Scott, you talked a little bit about what you want to achieve by collecting all of these histories, these stories from people in Darrington, from the landslide, but what do you get out of it?
It is in some way a certain amount of therapy as well. One of the things we have is all the 911 calls. So we have audio files that are part of the archive. And we personally as an organization have had these for a long time. So we've listened to them somewhat. I don't think I've made it all the way through the 9 minutes of calls there are. There may be more than that. And I know Erica had never made it all the way through. 2 nights ago, I went upstairs and I heard the 911 calls and I thought, oh no, Erica's going there. But it is hard to listen to, but it's also brings us back. You hear the urgency in people's voices, and we remember the confusion. You know, where did it come from? How could it have reached all the way to Linda's house? There's no way. It's a mile away. You know, just that pain. It seems weird, but I think it is therapy to look at this when you're ready, to have something to go back to and remember. You know, you can just let something scab over, or you can let it heal, and there's maybe some of both.
Scott Morris is president of the Darrington Historical Society. He and his wife have been working with grad students from the University of Washington, preserving the stories and preserving the artifacts from the Oso landslide of 2014.